Welcome to Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua of Christ is All Ministries. I'm sure you've heard the statement, life is a series of choices. To some, that's too simple, but it really is true. Your decisions determine your destiny. We all have a choice to make, a life surrendered to Jesus, or a life spent following our own feelings and desires. You see, most Christians believe that the primary purpose of salvation is to avoid hell. That may have been what you were taught, but it's not what the Bible actually teaches. In fact, that kind of thinking serves to inoculate people from the truth of the gospel concerning salvation. Salvation is an act of God and a gift from God. It is initiated by God, wrought by God, and sustained by God. In today's message titled, Many Have No Idea What Salvation Really Is, Evangelist Paul Acqua teaches on knowing and sharing more about the sacrifice Christ lovingly made on our behalf.
The gospel is the power of God to salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. The word gospel means good news. The good news is Jesus came and bore all the punishment that we deserve. And that's the power of the gospel, my friend. It's the good news of what Jesus did and gives us the power to receive. Salvation is not just the initial forgiveness of sin, but it's the power unto deliverance, unto joy, unto peace, unto freedom from depression, discouragement. Anything that came as a result of what Jesus did is a part of our salvation. It's not only about the forgiveness of our sins, and it's important that we take note of this. Some think that salvation is all about forgiveness of sin. And once you get saved, it was over until you go to heaven. You are saved and stuck. That's what it would mean. People are saved, but they don't know that it's God's will that they prosper, that they have joy, that they have peace, that they have victory and power. It's all part of the salvation package, my friend. It is part of the package that Jesus brought to us. That if you believe in him, you receive salvation. And it is the full gospel, full package. A lot of churches are not currently preaching the good news. They don't preach healing. So many don't understand that the gospel gives you power to overcome sickness and everything. We need to preach the full gospel, my fellow ministers. Most Christians believe that the main purpose of salvation is to avoid hell and go to heaven. They therefore spend their time on earth waiting to be taken to heaven, waiting for the rapture of the church. But that's not the truth of the gospel concerning salvation. If that's the case, then those who receive Christ as their Lord and personal Savior would be translated straight to heaven, because heaven is a far better place than this earth. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 17. I'm reading the first three verses. If you have your Bible, open it with me. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Verse 2. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Verse 3. Now this is eternal life. Now listen carefully. That they may know you. You see? I repeat that verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Hallelujah. So you see, salvation is God rescuing humanity from our sinful conditions and having a relationship with him. It's about how we live, a way of life, and the early disciples followed the way. Salvation is about receiving eternal life. It's about having a relationship with God. God's main reason for sending Jesus was to give us eternal life and restore fellowship. It's so important. He restored fellowship with anyone who received him. But my friend, while on this earth, there is a kingdom way to walk. He invites you to follow him, and it's not static, but dynamic. We've been admitted into God's wonderful kingdom, and you are told to take an active role in it. God is looking forward to working together with you in his kingdom. Jesus wants us to increase our knowledge of him, and so he has commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. Look at what he said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, which we call the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's part of the salvation package, my friend. So growing in the knowledge of God doesn't happen immediately. It is a process. People have misunderstood the central message of the Great Commission. They think all they need to do is just be born again and discipleship is for the mature Christian. But that's not so. That's not what the Bible says. Go and make disciples. The emphasis here is that the Lord commanded us to make disciples, not just new converts. Somewhere along the way, the body of Christ has changed the emphasis of this message from making disciples to getting people born again, leaving discipleship as optional. What we ought to be preaching is that God calls us into discipleship, and it begins with making a commitment to the Lord. Discipleship is not optional. That's not what Jesus commanded. Our focus must not be just leading people to Christ, but to continue with the process of discipling them into mature Christians. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." That means teach people to be followers of Christ. We actually follow Jesus and focus on him, and that's salvation. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." God created us to form relationship with him. He said, "Follow me and I will make you or turn you into something else." We need to follow Christ. You have been invited into a whole new way of life, which is different from the way the world lives. Our focus must shift immediately to living for God. Therefore, when we present the gospel to people and ask them to accept Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, we need to teach them that this is a total commitment of their lives to the Lord. It means becoming a disciple of Jesus. It means growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God doesn't happen immediately. It is a process, as I said. It's directly linked to submitting to God and his word and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, said Jesus. If I am growing in the Lord, then I want to know what he says about everything. I want to know what he says about my relationships with others. I want to know what he says about the church. I want to know what he says about finances. I want to know what he says about love. I want to know what he says about anger. I want to know what God says about everything I possibly can, my friend. When a person is growing in their spiritual life, they have the desire to know what's the truth of God's word. If that's true of your life, you will spend far less time watching the television than being in the word of God. So let's become people who are eager to know God. It's all part of the salvation package. Christians need to recognize who they are when they get saved. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It is a common scripture that most believers know. But this is so familiar to most people that they don't know what this says. I think most modern readers brush past. They just brush past this text of scripture without realizing what they are reading. When meditating on this, see, your spirit being has been recreated. All things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. So you have been recreated in your spirit. That's what we need to take note of. That's very important. Your body did not become new. You have still got the same body that you had before you got saved. If you were white, your skin color was white, you are still white. If you were black, you are still black. So, it's about the spirit we're talking about. It's talking about your spirit being. When you understand that the change happened in your spirit, then it doesn't matter what you look like or feel like. In the spirit, you are identical to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you have been born again, every one of us who has been born again has the fullness of God living in our spirit. Knowing this will change your life. It's important to take note of that. In Christ, you are a new creation. Bible says that God is spirit and he has given us a spirit. He said, as he is in heaven, so are we on this earth. So he said that he didn't say, so are we in the next world, but in this world. Inside of the born again person is the raising of the dead power. Hallelujah. Inside of you is the power to overcome whatever the devil throws at you. All we need to do is to try and release this power. And it's all come from the knowledge of the word of God. The Bible says if you are born again, you become totally brand new person. And some people struggle with that because they look in the mirror and they don't see a change. They search their emotions and they still have the same feelings. And so they say, I don't understand the Bible. It's because you are looking for God in your physical body. The Bible says that God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. You have to worship God through your spirit. And your spirit is the part of you that the Bible says that all things have become new. In your spirit, there is no impurity. Believe it. Therefore, walk with the one who saved your life. It's amazing to think back that years ago, I was lost and wasn't going to make it to heaven. I wasn't having relationship with God. And now here I am having the spirit of the person who saved my life, the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man or the man-God who came to give us his spirit after saving us, after carrying all our sins onto the cross. Here I am walking with the God who saved me, having his spirit and living his life. Bible says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And if you have not received Christ as your personal savior, then you don't even have a part in this salvation package. And if you will, you may pray this prayer after me, saying every word from your heart. Say, dear Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner and need to be saved. I understand that Jesus died in my place and suffered the judgment of all of my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And he is at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to tell a friend. Also, make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any prayer requests, you can contact us at +44 787 945 6907. You can also visit www.ciamint.com for more resources to help you dig deeper in your Christian life. Christ is all ministries. Sharing Christ, changing lives.